I want us to pray for Pastor, and I want to lay the background so you'll understand why. If you and I were to make a list of everybody we want to pray for, I don't know where you came from, but I came from Pray by the List. Have you been to that church? Well, you know, the first person on the list got a really good deal. I said, Lord, we want Frank to have a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of the eyes of his understanding, and light that he might know the hope of your calling, the riches and the glory of your inheritance in the saints, seeing greatness of your power. To Frank, who does believe? Amen. And I said, I believe Frank's going to abound and increase in love according to knowledge and wisdom. I believe Frank's going to have knowledge of your will. I believe he's going to bear fruit and be pleasing unto you. I'm just praying the scripture, praying the word, that prayer, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1. Well, I get down to person number two. And I say, Lord, I thank you that grace has spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of you, the eyes of understanding, light, she may know the hope, your calling, the riches, the glory of your inheritance, saints, seeding greatness of your power to grace who does believe. Thank God, grace is going to abound and increase in love according to knowledge and wisdom. She has knowledge of your will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding. You can see I'm not going to make it to the bottom of my list, am I?
No.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost as we pray. He knows exactly who needs prayer. And I can reach down into my spirit where the Holy Ghost lives and resides. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is on the inside. I'm the habitation of God by the Spirit. He's on the inside. And I can reach down in the spirit and know by that spirit, led by that spirit, whom needs prayer? Who needs prayer? This is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, or we might say by the Spirit or led by the Spirit. And then I know that some days Frank doesn't need prayer and some days Grace doesn't need prayer. I know by the Spirit. By the Spirit. See, by the Spirit. And the only successful way of praying, of being at the right person at the right time with the right words, is by the Spirit. Now, the scripture tells us in this to pray for all saints. Praying with all prayer. Supplication in the Spirit. Watching. See, I'm watching in the Spirit. And as I'm watching, I determine by the Spirit, led by that Spirit, who needs prayer. Watching by the Spirit with all perseverance, supplications for all the saints. Now, the word supplication is a word to make a request. And it says, we're watching the saints to see who has a need, to see who we can help. We're making requests on behalf of the saints. Now, you can imagine. See, praying the word is a wonderful, wonderful way to pray. It's a wonderful way to begin. If you're watching and somebody has great need and you pray that the spirit of wisdom falls upon them, that's going to solve a lot of problems. A little wisdom is going to go a long way. And then you pray that their heart be flooded with light. And they abound and increase in love and please the Father in all things and bear fruit in the kingdom. You can see those wonderful words penned by the Holy Ghost are going to solve some problems. Now, in addition to that, there are things I don't know about their life. And I tell you the truth of my experience, sometimes what people say is not what they have in their heart. That's why it's wonderful after we pray the word to pray by the Spirit, to pray in other tongues. And when we pray in other tongues, we say, Lord, now, if there's anything I need to know, and it's not I need to know it so I can tell you what the Lord said to me. Because then the Lord will quit saying to you. If you're a blabbermouth, you won't hear very long, very often. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14, we pray that we may interpret. So I just say, Lord, anything I need to know about Frank while I'm praying for him, you tell me. And then if the Lord gives me any word at all, I'm praying in other tongues. I'm praying until I have a release. I don't know why that seems difficult to people, but if you ate till you were full, how many would know when you were full? You wouldn't need three witnesses. You'd know that this is it, that you ate your last cracker. And there's something about the Holy Ghost. When he's finished, you know that.
Yes.
Now, as I'm praying, I pray that I'm my interpret. I started with the word. I prayed the word. If Frank's flooded with light, if he begins to abound and increase, he begins to please the Father. And then I pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit allows me to be specific. I can be specific and not know what Frank's dilemma is. And that's what Romans 8 says, praying the Spirit allows me to pray the perfect will of God. When I pray in other tongues, I am praying the perfect will of God. I'm saying exactly what needed to be said. Oh my, and God only tells you what you need to know, and if he doesn't tell you, you didn't need to know. Amen. But God will tell you what you need to know. And then see, if he tells you, you hold that fast. It's wonderful, wonderful. It says pray all kinds of prayer. That word all prayer is all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer. It's the same word that's used in Matthew when Jesus said they'll say all manner of evil against you falsely. Same Greek word. If anybody says all manner of evil against you, they say every dirty, rotten thing they can think of, don't they? Well, there are many different kinds of prayer. But all prayer, no matter what you're doing, is founded on the Word and led by the Spirit. Grounded in the Word and led by the Spirit. Now, it's such an interesting thing in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah. And he comes across a verse, I believe in Jeremiah 25, in the scroll. It says 70 years the people are going to be in captivity. He looks over at his calendar and realizes this is the 70th year. Now we pray by the word. We pray led by the Spirit. No doubt the Spirit pointed that out to Daniel. The Spirit of the Lord was not in anybody because nobody was born again, but he came upon the prophet, priest, and king. Well, Daniel looked at his calendar and said the 70 years are up. Now, this is so exciting. If God said in Jeremiah, the people be in captivity 70 years, Jeremiah found that in the Word. What's he supposed to do with that? Sit around and wait, because this is the 70th year and God does what he wants to. Everything's in God's control. See, and if you believe that, you're going to be deceived by the devil.
That's right. That's right.
Because everything's not in God's control.
That's right.
If it was, you wouldn't have free will.
That's right.
Amen. I control a lot of things. In fact, I control my entire life.
That's right.
If I choose to rob a bank, you nor God either can stop me.
That's right.
Now I expect both of you to try. I expect you to recommend that that wouldn't be wisdom. Daniel begins to pray. So he set himself to pray. Why, if God said it would be only 70 years and he realizes this is a 70 years, is he praying? Why didn't he just wait? It's going to happen anyway. One verse that gives us such light. Are y'all standing on your tiptoes? You're listening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is the book of Esther. You remember Esther's the queen? She's a Jewish queen. The king doesn't know she's Jewish. And he sets out to annihilate all the Jews. Her cousin Mordecai comes to her and says, do you know there's been a decree to kill all the Jews? Said, who knows but what you? He said, you need to go to the king. Well, the queen's not, I know that's unusual, but the queen's not allowed to go to the king. That's strange, isn't it? And if she goes to the king and he's pleased with her, he'll say, come on in, sticks out his scepter. And if he's not in the mood to see her, he has her executed. So it's dangerous to visit the king. Mordecai says, you need to rescue the Jews. You need to go speak to the king. And she had to think about it. He said, you may have come to the kingdom for this time. And what I like about that passage of scripture, he says, if you don't go, God will protect and enlarge Israel through someone else.
That's right. Hallelujah.
That means she's going to miss God's plan. She's going to miss God's best. She's going to be out of the will of God. She's there. God's will is to use her to protect his people, but she has free will. She can say, I won't do it.
That's right.
And he said, okay, God will. And I love the word enlarge. I don't know why. I like enlarge the kingdom through someone else. No, she said, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. Of course, she went to see the king, and the king was happy to see her, so that's good news. He said, come on in. And she negotiated, and eventually the people went free. Now, Daniel is praying because the will of God's been revealed to him. When I begin to pray the word, the will of God's revealed to me. When it says God wants us to have the spirit of wisdom, that's the will of God. God has said we should have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to acknowledge him, the eyes of our understanding enlightened. That's the will of God. When I know the will of God, I don't just sit back and say, it'll happen. When I know the will of God, God says, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Now that's what Daniel did. He went to confess the sins of his people and his own sins, and he put God in remembrance. He stood for all of these events that were going to be culminated to come to pass. And God said to Daniel, from the moment you began to pray, the command came. Why is God waiting on Daniel to ask God to do what he's already said he wanted to do? Why? We have numerous examples of that. In 1 Kings 18, it had not rained for 3.5 years. And God spoke and said to the prophet, it is going to rain. Go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Now you'd think we'd just stand around, wait on the rain, because God said it's going to rain. So it's going to rain. God said it's going to rain. Wait on the rain, right? No. See, we're working with heaven. Heaven's working with man. Man and God are joined together. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but you're the body of the church. And when I left Lakeland, I brought my head and my body. We came together. You know, wouldn't that be great? You leave your body in bed, send your head down to the church to pray. Well, what an idea. No, you got to go together, head and body together. And Jesus is the head of the church. And see, I find out what's the head of the church saying. What does he want? What does he want to accomplish? What is his will? What is his plan? And then I put him in remembrance of his plan. I stand by faith for the plan of God to come to pass. All I've got to do is by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, find the plan of God and then present that, bring that back to God's remembrance. Or he said, declare that. Or he said, stand together with me. That's my part. Because I have authority here. Now, if you came to my house and said, let's shift this sofa, and this little table would look better at my house. And you started moving and shifting and said, oh, and let's, you got any gray? We need gray paint everywhere. Do you think I'd let you do that?
No.
See, and while the church is standing around for God to perform his will, the devil's laughing at us.
That's right.
He's laughing at us. Because while we're doing nothing, thinking that God is doing something, he's doing a lot. My part's to find the will of God. What does God want? Now he said, you go tell Ahab it's going to rain. He said, you are kidding me. He ran into Obadiah. Obadiah worked for the king. Obadiah's a very godly man. And he said, you go find Ahab. Ahab's out hunting water. Hadn't rained 3.5 years. They're desperate for water. He said, you go find him and you tell him I won't talk to him. It's fixing to rain. He says, I'm not going to go tell the king you won't talk to him because I'll tell him where you are. He'll come to talk to you and you'll be gone and he'll execute me. He says, you won't stand here and wait on the king. And he said, I promise I will. So he talked to the king and they had that wonderful conclave on Mount Carmel where he brought in all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the grove and they had an altar. God had one man, one altar. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous. How many?
A righteous.
Avails much. God had one man, one altar. They had 850. And they made their sacrifice and they called upon their God who's not really a God, who doesn't really exist, so he couldn't possibly answer. And guess what? He didn't. He didn't answer at all because he doesn't exist. They cut themselves with stones. They did everything they knew to do.
Right.
To get the attention of their God. Elijah began to make fun of him. He said, oh, he's probably on a trip. Well, after a while, they gave up. Elijah had 12 barrels of water. He dug a trench around his altar, had 12 barrels of water poured on that. So the altar, the sacrifice, the wood, everything is wet. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to have a campfire with wet wood. Have you ever tried that? This is what we're doing now. We got wet wood, wet cow. Everything's wet. And Elijah simply called upon his God. And fire fell. Now listen. First the water. And second the fire. When there was water. See, that's the rain of the Spirit. And then there was fire. The people began to holler, Lord, you are God. You are God. You are God. There was harvest. Did you get that?
Hallelujah.
First the water, then the fire. See, the water is the move of the Spirit of God in God's people. The fire is the signs and wonders that gets the attention of the world. You know, if I never saw a sign, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I'm not opposed to a sign. I like them. Two or three goosebumps in a row.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's do it. But no goosebumps. I'm not giving up, not chickening out on God. I'm going on with God. If I feel something, fine. If I don't feel something, I'm committed.
Amen.
See, but it's going to rain on God's people. It's going to rain on God's people. Now, God sends a pastor to direct the flood.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, we live behind two canals, and they're gated at a huge lake. And when the lake begins to fill with water, they open that. Somebody has authority, opens that gate. When they open that gate, the canal is, 30 foot deep? I don't know, 20 foot deep. Anyway, when they open that gate, we're a good distance from the lake, but it's not long before that water goes, just air, until they close the gate. It may do that for days, just flooding. And it begins to wash out the bank. The sand on the edge, because of the force of the water, begins to say, hey, water's moving, sand sliding, water's moving. God said, I'm going to send water in the desert. He said to Elijah, you go tell Ahab it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. See, it is going to rain on the church. It's going to rain. And when it rains, fire's going to be lit. And when fire is lit, people are going to begin to say, you are Lord. Now, God's the rainmaker. Can't anybody make rain but God, in the spirit or in the natural. You can do all the war dances you want to. Call upon anybody you want to, but you can't make rain. Now, Elijah, you would think this is a mystery, but it's really clear if you let me help you. When God said there was going to be rain, Elijah said, bowed his face to the ground after the sacrifice was consumed, and began to pray. According to James chapter 5, it said Elijah prayed and it rained. It says he prayed and it rained. God had said it was going to rain. Just like he said to Daniel, the 70 years are up. Daniel prayed. He didn't wait on God. He prayed. Elijah didn't say, well, God said there's going to rain. He prayed, it says, earnestly. Now, earnestly is intense prayer. I mean, he meant that thing.
Yeah.
He was serious. It was important. We're going to have rain.
Right.
He prayed. Why did he pray? See, but that's how prayer works if you understand prayer. God says what he wants, and I come into agreement with Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
He says we're going to have rain. Now, even after Elijah said he heard the sound of rain, he didn't hear it in the physical. There wasn't any rain in the physical. Wasn't even clouds in the sky. Wasn't drop rain anywhere. He sent his servant out seven times, find rain. Wasn't any rain. Wasn't any clouds. Wasn't any anything. But said he heard rain. Where did he hear it?
In the
he heard it in his heart. He heard it in the spirit. Now, if God said it was going to rain, and we had that wonderful miracle of the sacrifice being consumed, and then he heard the sound of the rain, why bother to pray? Looks to me like all we'd need to do is put up our umbrella and hang in there. But Jesus is the head and we are the body. And the head and the body work together. And the head couldn't make you get born again. Couldn't make you receive the Holy Ghost. Couldn't make you do anything at all. Can't make you tithe. But he can tell you what his will is, what his plan is, what's best for you, what's going to work out. See, if I hear what's going to work out. And like Elijah, I bow before the great King of glory. And say, okay, you said rain. You said rain. Now the church hooks up with what pastor sees in the spirit. Because the vision of heaven's planted in him. Because he's the one that God says, okay, tell those people it's going to rain. So when pastor gets up and he selects a sermon, he does that by spirit. Now pastor's not perfect. There's not a perfect pastor anywhere. You understand? Every pastor anywhere is going to miss God. But instead of stick out your tongue, increase your prayer. What do you say? I've seen people get so uptight and strung out. No, pray more. Pray more, see? Now the scripture tells the pastor what's fixing to happen. Tells the pastor what word you need. If the pastor preaches a sermon, you needed it.
That's right.
You needed it. And what I do is I usually get the tape and go home and listen a second time. See, that word came from the Lord.
Yes.
It came from the Holy Ghost. Jesus directed the Holy Ghost to to direct the man to tell Becky. And I listened, see. Now, the word watching is in here. It's one of my favorite words in verse 18. Pastor's watching over you. His responsibility in numerous scriptures is to feed the flock. Well, I didn't know there was different kinds of hay. I have a friend in the horse business. And she's making a big deal going a long distance to get some kind of hay. And I thought, in hay, I mean, what's the difference? Hay is right? Hay's hay. Oh, she's looking at me like, you are really dumb. You don't know your hay. I don't know my hay apart. And then she gives this one this and this one that. Makes special trips. Pays a bigger price for some kinds of hay. Because food's not food. It's all good food, but some of it's better than others for the horses. Amen. See, now God's going to direct the pastor to watch over you, to feed you. Amen. And the book of Jeremiah says, if a pastor feeds you, let's look at it. 23. God is rebuking shepherds who haven't done their job. A shepherd and a pastor is the same thing. It's the same word. Pastor, shepherd, it's not a different thing, it's the same thing. And he says, therefore, verse 2, says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed the flock. He's speaking against them because they've not done the thing they ought to do. Then he says, if you've scattered my flock and driven them away, have not visited them. He's talking to shepherds that aren't doing their job. But you know what I know? If the shepherd's not doing his job, we haven't been praying. Amen. That's just the truth. Amen. Then he says, verse 4, I'll set up shepherds which shall feed them. Shepherd that knows the food that you need. Amen. And when the shepherd feeds you, it says, they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. That's confused. Neither shall they be lacking. Now, does that sound like a deal to you or what?
Amen.
And see, while the pastor's watching the sheep are watching over the pastor. Yes. You know that old song? I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me. Are y'all that old? Anybody that old? I just call them like I see them. I just don't. That's it. While he's watching the sheep and feeding the sheep so there won't be any lack, no confusion, no fear. And verse 3, it says, if the pastor's doing his job, they'll be fruitful and increase.
Hallelujah.
You want to increase? Amen. Then we have to pray. Now, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 1 gives us the same way to pray for pastor. And the thing we do corporately all the time is pray for pastor. Because pastor has to know by the Spirit what sheep needs extra assistance. Amen. What sheep is limping. What sheep didn't come home at night. But see, a pastor in the Spirit, he's not going to have a report. Not going to have a committee. Holy Ghost is going to speak and say, you better check on Mrs. Bringle. Amen. She's in trouble. But you know, if you don't pray, it doesn't happen. See, Elijah found the will of God and he prayed. Daniel found the will of God. Prayer is asking God to do what he said he wanted to do. It's just asking God to do. And he said, I want to feed the sheep. I want to use a man to feed the sheep. I want the sheep to grow and be fruitful and increase. So I take the word. I say, Lord, pastor might have the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of his understanding and light. The pastor might know the hope of his calling. I pray those wonderful word prayers. And then I pray in other tongues and say, Lord, if there's anything I need to know. And then he tells me, and I don't go blabbing. Say, no blabbing.
No blabbing.
Say, blabber mouth.
Blabber mouth.
Hear less and less.
Hear less and less.
Less to none.
Less to none.
And then every time I think of pastor, I say, okay, you said. And I give God back that word that he gave me by the Spirit. Now here's the two verses. Let me read you. One in Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2 says, continue in prayer. That's the same as pray without ceasing. Remember, the Bible doesn't say a lot of different things. It doesn't say a lot of different things. It does not. Pray without ceasing. Is that continue in prayer?
Yes, it is.
Same thing as the Old Testament. God says, don't give me rest. Don't be silent. Is that the same thing? Watch in prayer. See, you need to watch over. You're supposed to watch over your pastor. Praying for us, Paul said, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. One of the primary prayers for pastor is that he has words from heaven. Amen. Words from heaven. Because if he has words from heaven, the sheep are going to what? Be fruitful. They're going to increase. They're going to be without fear, without confusion, without lack. Now that's repeated in Ephesians. Words from heaven. Words from heaven. Paul said, pray for all the saints. We watch over the saints. But just like we watch over the saints, we watch over pastors. And Paul said, pray for me, that utterance may be given. That's words. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Words. Pastor's supposed to have words from heaven. So I thought the ushers are supposed to have words from heaven. Not necessarily. Around the world, there are different kinds of church organizations, and some of them just break my heart. Because of the authority structure, everybody has a little authority. Everybody has words, everybody has. It's just not scriptural. Amen. If I know vision is in the pastor feeds the sheep, the pastor has words from heaven, the pastor delivers heaven's word, the pastor gives the directions, he's the supervisor, he's the manager, and in 1 Corinthians 12, which we won't read, says government is found in the pastor. Amen. Government. Means he is in charge. Nobody else is in charge. So I don't like that. Well, then you need to find a church where that's not the truth. Amen. But here, pastor's in charge. And what a pleasure to pray for your pastor. I can think of the times, I mean, when pastor has helped me. Our pastor, we've had several. We've had the same pastor for a good number of years now, and we love him. Amen. And what a pleasure to pray for him. And then have him come sit by you the day you were so distressed you couldn't hardly remember your name. Nobody told him I was distressed. I was smiling on the outside, weeping on the inside. The Holy Ghost told him. Pastor's watching. He's watching the sheep. He's watching. He's watching. But I'm watching the pastor so he doesn't stumble. So he has words. Now every time you meet to pray, that ought to be on your agenda. Every time. Every time. It says, pray for those in authority. He's in authority. Right. Now, who's in authority? Now, the wonderful passage that helps us is Acts chapter 6, where the apostles had so many things to do that they couldn't minister by prayer and the word. So they had deacons to help him to take care of the maintenance end. And they said, we'll give ourselves to prayer and the word. Pastor's supposed to be giving himself to what? Prayer and the word. What is he supposed to be doing? What is he supposed to be doing? And see, if I wait on tables, that was their problem. They were feeding widows, and the pastor was out feeding the widows. The apostles out feeding the widows didn't have time to pray. Out feeding the widows and didn't have time to read. He doesn't pray, he doesn't read. Is he going to have the word from the Lord? So what's my part? I'm a helper.